My name is Glenn Washington, and today we're exploring what happens when you have to take the blame. And that's all well and good, but what if the person you've promised to take the blame for isn't even there? Susan Kent brings us a story of when her pact was put to the test. Snap judgment.
My mom was the kind of person who was always into really creepy, spooky kind of things. She loved looking for ghosts, and we spent a lot of time at cemeteries hanging out.
Cece was my mom's best friend.
She was very Catholic, and she hated the idea of spirits. It was amazing that Mom even got her to play Ouija board. So as they were playing, Mom started making fun of her and was like, "Listen, you better hope I don't die first, because if I do, I am so gonna haunt you." And Cece was like, "Barbara, you can't say that. That's awful. Why would you do that to me?" They fought back and forth for a while, and Mom eventually made a deal with her, saying, "Okay, if I die first, I promise I won't haunt you, if you will promise that you will haunt me if you die first." I was about 8 years old, and I was in my grandmother's kitchen where the phone was, and when it rang, my mom went to pick it up, and she said, "Wait a minute, what?
What?
And then all of a sudden, she just started screaming and crying, and she collapsed in the middle of the floor. And my grandmother came running in, and I was holding her head, trying to hug her, and my grandmother was just telling her to get up off the floor, and we realized it was Cece. Her best friend Cece had a brain tumor. She completely fell apart, and it terrified me. After she came back from the funeral, she's like, "Well, you know, Cece's going to be coming back." It was like every night, "Did you hear anything? Have you seen anything? What's going on?" If the dog started barking at something that we couldn't see, we would attribute it to Cece. It was like, "Oh, that's her. Cece's here." And it was so exciting for those first couple of years because we just kept thinking that something really significant was going to happen that was going to prove that it was Cece. And nothing ever really came. She had always been kind of the life of the gathering when people would come over to Grandma's house. And, you know, everybody sits around the kitchen table in the South and they have cake and drink tea and chat. And Mom was always the funniest one. And as she started to give up hope, she seemed to get sadder and more withdrawn. About 10 years later, after Cece died, I was 18 and I was at home. I looked up at this crucifix that had hung in Cece's room that Mom had had in her room ever since Cece died. And when I looked up at the crucifix on the wall at a 45-degree angle under Jesus' left arm was Cece's name written in green letters. And I went running down the hallway towards the kitchen. I dialed my mom, who was at work, and when she answered the phone, I was screaming and crying so hard that I couldn't get words out. And she started asking questions like, "Are you okay? Is there somebody in the house? Did you cut yourself? What is going on? Are you okay? What do you need?" And eventually I got a breath in and just screamed, "Cece." She was like, "What are you talking about, Cece?" And I'm like, "Cece, Cece, she's here. She wrote her name on the wall." After she came back that evening, she started going through my desk and my different drawers, pulling out markers and crayons and pens and eyeliners, any sort of thing that that was green in any shade. And she started making these little hash marks next to Cece's name on the wall, trying to find something that matched it. And it became like an inquisition.
People kind of heard rumors that we had had this ghost. Kids in the neighborhood actually came over and graffitied and put Cece's name spelled wrong on the back of a shed in our backyard. It became kind of a joke. the idea that nobody believed me, especially my mom, was devastating. A couple of weeks later, I was in the living room and I was getting ready to go to bed.
And all of a sudden, I hear this screaming and crying. I went running back to find out what was going on, and she was just squatting on the floor holding this painting that had been on the wall, and she held it up.
And there was a little tag attached to the frame. I realized that my mom had written Cece a note.
"Is it you? I hope so. I love you." And I saw the word yes written in green and at the 45-degree angle, like the other writing. And I was so excited for her. I started telling her, like, "See, it's okay. It is her. And now you can be happy." She cried for a while and eventually got up and hung the painting back up. It was very quickly apparent that she hadn't believed. It was really disappointing to me. I thought she would be excited. You know, we'd been looking for Cece for a decade. Maybe a month after Mom found the note behind the picture, I was sitting in the living room with her and my sister, and all of a sudden, this frame just jumped off the wall behind her head and hit the floor. And Mom was startled and was like, "What was that?" Mom hopped up and she checked it out. It was this framed, embroidered piece that she had made for Cece that had been returned to her after Cece died. And the nail was still on the wall. It was still at the right angle for holding a picture.
I was grateful to Cece because I thought, well, finally, she'll believe me and know that it wasn't me and that it wasn't my sister or anyone else.
She made the comment like, "Well, I guess now I know, huh?" But it didn't change anything. We've lost contact a lot over the years. Anytime we would talk on the phone, it was just how awful life was for her and how broke she was. And we talked very infrequently at the time she had gotten cancer. Right before she died, one of the last conversations we had, we were talking that she wanted to be cremated and she didn't want a service and those kinds of things. And as we were kind of finishing up the conversation, she looked at me and said, "Well, Susan, you know, you can tell me the truth now about Cece. You know that, right?" And I just looked at her and I was like, "You know, Mommy, I've been telling you the truth all along." And she just rolled her eyes at me and rolled over in the hospital bed. That was our last coherent conversation.
So do you think that she's going to haunt you?
I hope that she's going to haunt me. When I got back to New York, I wrote a note on the back of a picture in my house that, it just says, "I miss you. I hope you're okay." And so, I hope that one day I'll find a word or something there that she's written to me, and then I'll know.
What will you know?
I'll know that she knows I was telling the truth the whole time I told her. And I'll know that she's okay wherever she is now.
Thank you so much, Susan, for sharing your story with Snap. Susan Kent is a wonderful writer and performer, lives in Brooklyn. She has a solo show running right now. Go to our website, snapjudgment.org, to find out more. The original score for that piece was done by Pat Mesiti-Miller. It was produced by Anna Adlerstein.